Do you know which former member of the royal family was named the People's Princess? Do you know who Elton John rewrote his song Candle in the Wind for in 1997, renaming it Goodbye English Rose? Do you hear the name Camilla and instinctively cringe? If you answered yes to any of these questions, you might be a Xennial and a Princess Diana fan. And we are too. Hi there, everyone. I'm Dani.
And I'm Katie.
And today on Generation In Between, we will be talking about the late Princess Diana. But before we get started, let's do some shout outs and circle backs. Katie, do you have any today?
Yeah, I just have kind of an important one. One of our Jennifers that listens to the show, she works in mental health, and she let us know that the frontal lobe is fully developed. I think we had said like 23 or 24 or something. She let us know it's age 25.
25. I keep wanting to look at the camera. So we're filming for the first time today.
Yes, we are, guys. We are now.
It's weird.
Whether or not this ends up on YouTube remains to be seen.
Facts.
Because we may be like, no, we're not posting that. But we will put on social if there's a YouTube video for you all to check out.
Yeah, sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
And I keep running into the mic.
I know, this is not
like
going
the
well.
The camera turned on and we're like, what's going on?
Well, we're both performers too. So that probably just throws us because we're like, is that the camera? Not really. This is podcast. This is recording. Okay.
Absolutely. So that's my main one. Do you have any?
Frontal lobe
is fully developed at age 25, which means the legal drinking age is 4 years before that. You're legally an adult 7 years before that. You can drive 9 years before that. So, yeah, like young people who are adults, maybe not completely yet.
And Katie, when Jen texted us about this, we were both like, oh, my gosh. I was like, well, I was married before my frontal lobe. Katie was a mom.
Yes.
For the first time.
Before.
So we're just going with that we were advanced developmentally to be able to handle those things.
Exactly. Exactly. But just so y'all know, if you have a 22-year-old in your home and you're wondering why they aren't acting like an adult, it's because at least their brain isn't quite there yet.
They're not full grown yet.
Not
okay.
Yet. Not
Give
yet.
Them time. I do have a shout out today. Do you have any more before I
Nope, that was
say
it
my...
for today.
Okay, so this is fun, and I haven't told you this yet. Sometimes I tell Katie things, and then we retell them on the podcast. So this time, this shout out goes to a couple members of our OG Jennifer named Patrick.
Yes.
His family.
Oh.
So he has a younger teenage sister that is our older son's age. Her name's Brianna. She is now a devoted listener.
What?
And she let me know they even have their mom listening as well.
Wow. So two generations of non-Xennials listening to the Xennial podcast.
I know.
That's perfect.
So anyway, thank you, Patrick, for sharing the love across the generations and your fam. Love it.
We
also want to say thanks to Patrick and his wife, Dina, because they let us know about this cool little event happening called As If 90s Fest. It's happening on May 18th in St. Augustine. So Generation In Between is taking our first field trip.
Yes. And if you will be there, let us know.
Yes.
We would love to run into you.
Yeah. Find us.
On purpose.
We'll be in matching outfits. Take a selfie with us. We'll give you a sticker. We're just going to be walking around meeting people and kind of telling about our podcast. Patrick and Dina will be there as a vendor. So find Shiznit and find some amazing Xennial merch. Okay.
I love
that. So, yeah, I think that's all of my shout outs.
Yeah.
I don't think we have any circle backs. So look at us knowing things.
or forgetting.
Or just forgetting.
That we needed to say something else. But either way, we're just going to keep going.
So back to our topic. So Princess Diana is our topic today. And some people, when I was telling them we were going to do a whole episode on her, they were like, well, why is that relevant? You know, why is that relevant to Xennials or Generation In Between? And there's a few reasons why this is relevant. Other than personal reasons.
Yes.
So America, like as a whole, we've always had this fascination with the royal family, right? Princess Diana and Prince Charles, who is now King Charles.
Yep. Still doesn't quite roll off the tongue. No, it
doesn't.
I gotta say.
It doesn't. They got married in 1981. So many of us literally grew up seeing her on the cover of magazines and books and TV. She was everywhere. I mean, she was part of our world view, no matter where you were in America. Like, you saw her somewhere, right? And even though she was a part of British society and culture, Princess Diana became this prominent American slash worldwide icon during the 80s and 90s. She just did. Personally, my mom was a huge, and still is, Princess Diana fan. She also was really fascinated. I don't want to say she was a fan of the royal family, but she was fascinated by it. Like, my mom fell into that group of people who's just wanted to know all the things. But she adored Princess Diana. I remember she had all the magazines, all the books. So I, little Danny in the 1980s and 90s, I grew up knowing who she was, all about her life. My mom had this secret plan for me to, like, marry Prince William.
I'm pretty sure all of our moms
yes.
of this age group. I mean, Kate Middleton is our age.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we'll talk about that
in
a second.
So is Prince William.
Yeah. Right. So I grew up knowing all about her, which we talk about in another episode as well. She was somebody my mom just not just thought was beautiful and loved her fashion, but she really loved her humanitarian heart. And we'll talk about this in a little bit. And so for me, that was part of my childhood, which sounds really bizarre to say Princess Diana was part of my childhood, but she was. Mm-hmm. She died in 1997 when I was a senior in high school. And my mom was just distraught. And I remember that. I can still remember that night very clearly, which is very odd that you would remember something like that. But I do. So, yeah, that's my personal take. Katie, what do you remember, or did you know anything when you were growing up?
Yeah, I don't really remember consciously knowing about her probably till I was a teen and mm-hmm. like reading my own things. My mom, to my knowledge, wasn't really into it. She didn't read celebrity magazines. She barely watched TV. Like, she just wasn't into it. I'm sure she was aware of who she was, sure. but I don't remember her getting her books or anything like that. But I know when I got to be the age where, like, I was really into, like, movie stars mm-hmm. and Hollywood and stuff like that. So probably, like, early high school and then throughout, you know, college and all of that, I became aware of her because she was in that sphere.
Yeah.
Of these, like, uber crazy, famous, beautiful, wonderful people.
Right.
And also around the time that I became aware of her was when, like, the divorce was happening yeah. and the things were actually, it was kind of like the age where I could sort of consume some news myself.
Right.
I guess. And of course, I mean, I guess there was internet, but there wasn't, like, the news right. stream online. It would literally be, like, on TV news programs or magazines at the grocery store or right. the gas station or, you know, wherever else I may have consumed, even newspapers. Mm-hmm. But I remember I had a summer job at the beach where I'm from in Northwest Indiana on Lake Michigan. And I don't remember all the details of when she passed, but I remember being at work mm. when I became aware of it. So I don't know if someone told me mm-hmm. or if we even had, like, a radio on talking about it. But I just remember kind of not thinking it was real. And then, and we might talk about some of this today, all the conspiracy theories, and there's still several out there.
Yeah.
But in those early days, there were a lot.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
There was, like, the queen had her killed.
Yeah.
This guy she was dating was part of, like, some sort of mafia, and they had her killed. Charles had her killed. Camilla had her killed, you know.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, I think the prevailing theory now is just that it was a high-speed paparazzi chase and it was a car accident.
Yeah. And it was a drunk driver driving. The driver was extremely intoxicated mm-hmm. That they found in, you know,
later on, in the
autopsy reports and all of that.
So I remember,
and that's proven yeah, scientific fact. It's on the
fact.
Records. And it was just a bunch of unfortunate, I mean, it was a horrible accident is mm-hmm. really what it was.
Definitely. And so it's not that I wasn't sad. I just kind of remember those memories being more about, like, the what happened to did it da 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 mm-hmm. at first
yeah.
until, like, more of the details, toxicology came out, etc., the speed of the car,
right.
all of those things. But that being said, I've gotten to know more about her throughout my adult life, and then obviously recently with the show mm-hmm. and I've definitely always admired her. I'd say since I was young adult through now,
yeah,
for the reasons you listed, you know, obviously feeling some sort of, I don't want to say sympathy because I don't think that's like necessarily what she would have wanted.
Right.
But really being like, man, that really sucked. Like yeah. what you had to do. And I can't believe this is even a thing yeah. that people, women go through in this institution. Mm-hmm. So there's that. And then as I've learned more about like the postpartum depression, the eating disorders, you know, just mm-hmm. really kind of identifying with how a person can have so many issues, as we all do, and yet change so much for the good.
Right.
Like the humanitarian side. And I don't know, I think it brings me comfort, yeah. my modern view of her, that like I can be struggling with something, yeah. but that doesn't mean I can't impact other people mm-hmm. or still make a difference or still move forward in my right. own life. So that was kind of a long-winded way of saying childhood, don't remember her that much, but my teen years, and by the time yeah. she passed away, she was in my conscious mind.
In your yeah. vernacular or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And let me also mention that Prince William, like we said, is indeed a yes. Xennial, as well as his wife, Kate. So William was born in June of 1982. Kate was born in January 1982. Both born the same year as Katie,
yes.
who is May of 1982.
I think they graduated high school the same year. As
yeah,
me,
look at was that.
Like, I was class of 2000, and so were they.
Look at that. Remember that. So I am 2 years older than all three of them. But alas, though, Harry, who is my favorite prince,
oh yeah,
he is not a Xennial because he was born in September 1984. And remember, Xennials are 1977 through 1983, our little okay. micro generation here. So he was almost a Xennial, but
he was close.
Well, I guess not almost because it's the tail end of 84. But anyway, he's Xennial. What is it?
Adjacent.
Word. Adjacent. Kenny always adjacent. Has to come in with the words for me.
I knew it.
Xennial adjacent. He is. And okay, so here's the thing. I was trying to figure out a different kind of spin on this episode, kind of like Katie did with Brittany. There is so much biographical media out there about Princess Diana. So much. There's podcasts. In fact, one of our favorite podcasts, You're Wrong About, did a whole series. If you haven't listened to it, you need to.
I've listened to
you
it.
You have?
Yeah. Oh, it's so good.
They yeah. did a whole series just about the biographical information with her about Diana on You're Wrong About. We'll put that in the show notes. So I didn't want this to be like the same old thing and just giving you all this information about her. So as y'all know, Katie and I are big musical theater fans, Avi, and we're both performers as well. So there was this little musical written about Princess Diana's life that premiered in 2019. You may have heard us talk about it. It is actually called Diana the Musical. They did not get very creative.
Diana. I was sick last time.
I know.
So I needed to do it
She
again
wanted
this
to
time.
Redeem. Yeah. Yes. Here's a fun Xennial fact. So Diana the Musical was written by Joe DiPietro. I'm probably saying that wrong, as I usually do. And David Bryan, who is the keyboardist for Bon Jovi.
Okay.
Doesn't all the music make sense
I
now?
I was like, everything just clicked into
it
place.
It all makes sense. Yeah. Yes. So not to go into the weeds with all this, the musical was a commercial flop for lots of reasons, which is debatable. Hello, pandemic. It's one. But the mix of campiness with sincerity created a huge fan base, especially when the Netflix film version became available for streaming in 2021, which is the first time Katie and I saw it was on the Netflix version. Katie and I are both fans. We've watched multiple times. Mm-hmm. As y'all know, I was recently part of the local production at Henniger here in Melbourne, the regional debut of the show. It is not commonly done yet.
Not yet.
So we were the first on the East Coast mm-hmm. to perform it. And I think we did a great job. Okay.
They did. I wasn't in the show, so I can say that. They did a great job. And I would be surprised if it didn't inspire like other people to now want
yeah,
to do it.
Yeah, I hope
because
so.
Because I'm sure they were like, oh, I want to do this show. It's yeah. so fun.
You know? Yeah. It's fun, but it is also very emotional. Like I love when I saw somebody describe it when I just said campiness mixed with sincerity. I thought that is such a great way to describe the show. Mm-hmm. And I think Diana would totally love that. Anyways, so the spin on this episode, we are going to discuss fact versus fiction, comparing Princess Diana's real life to some of what was portrayed in the musical.
Ooh, okay.
Okay.
I like
that. That's what we're going to do. So fans of the musical and fans of Princess Diana will love this one, But even if you're not a musical theater fan and you do not know much or anything about Princess Diana, stick around anyway, have a listen, because you might learn some new things.
Absolutely. Okay? Also, I'm excited.
We have a part two of this episode that we filmed. Was it last week or a week before last?
I think it was last Monday.
It's like, what is today?
But today is Thursday, so that would have been a while ago.
Yeah, Katie and I have had a Thursday that feels like a Monday.
Oh, it's been a day, you guys, and it's
not even
10:02
a.m. Oh, it is 10.
Just now 10.
It's been a day. So we have a super fun part two of this episode we recorded before with the amazingly talented performer Amanda Harnberger. She played Diana in the Hennigers production, and y'all have actually heard us shout her out before because she's also a devoted in-betweener. And now she's our very first guest.
Yes, and she corrected one of our trivia
she
episodes
did.
Thankfully
the on Rugrats.
Lil Dill Rugrats,
which we
debacle
sufficiently forgot.
I would tell you right now what she corrected and what's right, but I don't remember. I remember what the question was about, but I forget what the real answer
there we
is.
Go that should be our tagline for lots of episodes. I don't remember. But anyway, so make sure you check out part two of that to listen to our little chat with her. It's a lot of fun. So before we get started on comparing fact versus fiction with Diana the musical, I'm going to give you a very brief bio of Princess Diana, okay? Just for those of you who don't know or don't know a lot. And I actually got this from the official website of the royal family.
Oh.
So lots of things can be said about this, and what we can kind of make some little sound effects as I read.
Okay. I shall be ready.
But here it is. The late Diana, Princess of Wales, was born the Honorable Diana Frances Spencer on 1 July 1961 in Norfolk. She received the style Lady Diana Spencer. I don't even know what that is. Sorry. She received the style Lady Diana Spencer.
Yeah, I think it should be title.
I know. I don't know what that means. Maybe that's what I copied and pasted.
It's probably a British thing.
Probably. Lady Diana Spencer in 1975 when her father inherited his earldom. Lady Diana Spencer married the Prince of Wales at St. Paul's Cathedral, in London on 29 July 1981. During her marriage, the princess undertook a wide range of royal duties. Family was very important to the princess, who had two sons, as we just said, Prince William and Prince Henry, a.k.a. Harry. I forgot that his name was Henry.
I forgot that, too.
After her divorce from the Prince of Wales, side note, they separated in 1992, lived apart, and then their divorce was finalized in 1996.
Oh, wow.
So it took a while for them to finally grant them the divorce. The princess continued to be regarded as a member of the royal family. Girlfriend, I have to pause. I read that and I was like, are you kidding me, royal family?
Yeah. What?
What? Okay. Anyway, facts will challenge that. But whatever, that's what they said. Diana, Princess of Wales, died on Sunday, 31 August 1997, following a car crash in Paris. There was widespread public mourning at the death of this popular figure, culminating with her funeral at Westminster Abbey on Saturday, 6 September 1997. Even after her death, the princess's work lives on in the form of commemorative charities and projects set up to help those in need. Okay, thank you for that last sentence, royal family, because yes, she was very important.
What are commemorative charities?
So it's like in her name.
Oh.
The charities are in her name. Yeah.
It sounds like you're saying these nice little charities, this little thing she liked
thing she
to
did.
Do, like collecting things.
Yes, yeah.
I don't know.
It's so weird. There's lots of shade here, I feel like, but it is the royal family and they do that.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's her little tiny, tiny brief bio with some commentary thrown in by me and Katie.
Uh-huh.
So let's get started now with our list. I have a whole bunch here. We can talk a lot about it. I have a lot of resources on this one, too. So check our show notes if you want to check my facts. I'm not just going based on my own memories because Lord knows how that goes.
You may recall the Dill-Lil Rugrats situation aforementioned. Oh,
yes, I'm a spilled coffee. All right. So here's the first one. Diana was 19 years old when she started dating Charles.
Yep.
Definitely did not have her frontal lobe developed there.
Oh, no.
So this is spoken about in several lyrics and lines in the show. The show opener is the song Underestimated. There's a line that says 19 and naive. There's a line she says to Camilla in there, how old she is, in the song Whatever Love Means Anyway. Charles doesn't know how old she is when he proposes. And she said, and he's like, and you're just, and she says, 19.
Oh my gosh.
Right? Anyway, it was indeed true. She was 19. But here's something that's interesting. Before they were engaged in 1981, they had only interacted face to face about a dozen times.
Wow.
And one of which was she met him briefly when she was 16 because he was dating her older sister, Sarah. Mm. Also spoken about in the musical. Also true. Tori played an amazing Sarah.
Yes. Yes.
And if you're wondering why she always was holding a drink in the show, Sarah was an alcoholic, I think, up until the day she passed away.
Oh, man.
Actually, I'm fairly certain she did pass away. Now I'm scared I said that wrong. So question mark.
Like, question mark.
I didn't do research on that part. Sorry. Anyway, so yeah, they only interacted like face to face a few times, which is bizarre, but also pretty common in upper royal British higher class, whatever.
Right. It's kind of like when they say something on papers, right? Yeah. That was the case. Mm-hmm. And I think they even referenced that right in the musical. Mm-hmm. And maybe we'll get into that. But where they say, like, the queen's like, oh, she's the perfect person, blah, blah, blah. But had like not even really met her at that point. So what do you mean by that?
Exactly.
But, yeah. So her credentials. I can't imagine marrying someone that you've interacted with 12 or less times.
I know. But, you know, I actually know a couple people in my life who had arranged marriages where they never met. Mm-hmm. And they have been happily married.
Okay.
For probably about 15 years now. So
okay.
It's pretty impressive. So it can happen. Unfortunately, it didn't happen for Diana and Charles. Yeah. But anyways, she was 19 when they got engaged. And then that was in 1980. And then they got married in 1981 when she was 20. But Charles was 32. Mm. So let that just sit for a minute. He was 32, engaged to a teenager.
Yeah, and I mean, so don't get me wrong. Adults who have an age gap, my husband and I have a 9-year age gap. But I was, my frontal lobe was developed.
See, I was about to say, how was the lobe?
I was 28 when we got married. So I think it was developed when I met him too. So again, not saying it's okay for me, but not everybody else. Right. But I just mean, there's a huge, I feel like the gap between a 19-year-old and even like a 23 or 24-year-old,
it can be really big,
is huge, man or woman, whichever direction. And every relationship's different.
Oh,
but
yeah.
That does seem, like you said, a literal teenager with no, and I think it comes down more than anything to, in addition to the frontal lobe thing, the life experience.
Oh, I was just about to say that. Yeah.
You have none when you're that age. Not yet. So even just a couple years of life experience at least gets you closer to the level of other adults. But in Diana's case, you know, the shelteredness anyway of her family life and then the age. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just that's a big gap.
Big gap. So that was indeed true. So they got that right. I actually love, there was a lot in the musical that was based on fact. And we talk about that a little bit. And in fact, I won't go into all the things because there's a lot. And Amanda and Katie and I talk about some of them. Mm-hmm. We talk about her postpartum depression. We talk about the book. We talk about James Stewart. We talk about some of the factual things. So I tried to do things we hadn't talked about yet, if that makes sense. So if you're listening to this and you're like, wait, but you didn't talk about this, this, and this, if you're like a huge fan, don't worry. We may talk about it in the next one.
Correct. Listen to the interview with Amanda.
Yes. So here's another fact. Diana was a kindergarten assistant teacher. I think they call them kindergarten helpers. That's what the line was in the show. But listen to this. She was the first ever royal bride to have a paying job ahead of her engagement to a royal heir.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Uh-huh. First one.
Wow. Okay.
Isn't that interesting? She was a, like I just said, kindergarten helper at the Young England Nursery School in Pimlico.
Oh, fancy.
I think it said it was like outside of London, or it's like a suburb or whatever, like an upper class little suburb area.
Okay.
If you're British and you hear this and I'm wrong, just add us. We're used to being wrong. It's fine.
It's okay,
so yes, she was. She was actually a little kindergarten helper, which is just adds to her charm, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Also a job I could never do.
Respect. Okay.
But that is hard. I think that also speaks a lot to her heart because she loved kids. Mm-hmm. She loved being a mom. She tried really hard to make sure the princes had as quote unquote normal as they could childhood with doing fun things. And she wanted to be with them. Like,
right. It wasn't like to send him off with a right. nanny. Like, she wanted to do the things.
Which is usually done in the royal family. Yeah. And even British, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Nobility.
Right.
Right? And she didn't want to. So I think that speaks a lot to her heart. Okay. Here's another one. Diana did meet Camilla before her and Charles married.
Okay.
So I'm going to give you a little. I'm not going to go into too much of Charles and Camilla because, okay. And we do talk about some of it with Amanda as well.
We did. Yeah, we got into it a little with that.
But I will tell you a few things. So here's the deal for those of you that do not know, because I think Katie said she didn't realize some of this when we talked about this before. Charles and Camilla have been in each other's lives off and on, romantically and not romantically, since the early 70s.
Wow.
Yeah.
And they got married in 81. Diana and Charles, got married in
81. So they had already known each other. They had a romantic interlude and then whatever. I'm not going to go into all those details. But they have been connected to each other for a very long time. And they were connected long before he met Diana. A lot of people think like Camilla and him were having an affair like that began during mm-hmm. his and Diana's marriage. That's not true.
That's what I always thought.
It re-sparked during that time. But I mean, you know, they were in the same class. So they all attended similar social events, you know. So they did meet. They did interact, not as specifically as it's done in the show, like where in the show opener, they meet at a party and it's like, hello, I'm Camilla. And hello, mm-hmm. I'm Diana. All the history I've read hasn't really set a particular moment in time that they like met.
Okay.
Now, if you watch The Crown, this is like a side note. They have this whole scene that's totally for TV. Like,
and this is Camilla and Diana meeting.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay.
Camilla and Diana. Okay. Sorry, rewind.
So we don't know what the moment they met.
Right.
And we really probably don't know when her and Charles met either, just that it was around that time. We don't know like the exact location.
Right. And it doesn't really matter. Honestly, it doesn't really matter. But when Diana originally met Camilla, Charles only told her that they were friends. He did not tell her they had a dating history until after they were engaged.
Wow.
Yeah. Which is interesting.
Yeah. Like, it's kind of like, why tell her at all? It was almost like you wanted to have her. Mm-hmm. And then that would be suspicious. Because if you dated someone that you were truly like, oh, it didn't work out.
You'd be like, oh, we used to date. Now we're just friends.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I think leaving it out says something for sure.
I think omitting information sometimes is just as bad as lying about it.
Definitely.
Right?
Definitely.
So, yep. So they did meet. They did know each other. And yes, Camilla was indeed at their wedding with her own husband. So that is in the show, the wedding scene. She's there with her husband, Andrew.
Yes.
That really did happen. There are pictures of her at their wedding.
Oh, my God. I kind of want to look them up, but I kind of don't.
Yeah. And Diana spoke about that a few times. Mm-hmm. And in fact, Diana even remembered what she was wearing.
Camilla was wearing?
Yes.
What? Uh-huh. In the middle of all that. Uh-huh. Oh, wow.
Now, granted, in hindsight, maybe she just remembered because she saw a picture. You know how like your memory plays tricks on you? I don't know. But she did speak about it several times in interviews I've seen about, yeah, she was there. And she had on this gray pillbox hat and blah, blah, blah.
Wow.
I know.
Dang.
Yeah, girl.
Dang.
So, lots to be said about Diana and Camilla and Charles. There's a line in the show that says a marriage of three.
Yes.
That actually was something Diana said.
Wow.
And we'll talk about it more in a little bit.
I haven't, like every show, I was not prepped on this. I'm just following along.
No, she's
listeners.
Just following my notes.
So I don't know if you're going to talk about this, but in the musical,
yeah,
they kind of repeated several times Camilla basically saying she picked Diana out.
Oh, yeah.
So do you know anything about that?
Okay.
Was it her like saying, was she really encouraging of this marriage or was that just for the musical?
That I came across that in several like like, there's a whole bunch of people out there who have compared the musical to, like, real life history.
Okay.
And they do talk about that. She didn't really, it wasn't really her that picked her out. It was really the queen and the family.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
Now, granted, did she encourage him? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I just noticed in the musical it comes up a lot.
But he probably, yeah. I mean, but I don't know. I don't know. I can't speak into that specifically.
Yeah, and maybe it was just, and I'm just hypothesizing, the kind of thing where she knew he was going to have to marry someone else. So of everyone, maybe she did approve, which sounds right. Weird to say because it's not really her place to approve or not. But like, because of all the reasons that she does say in the musical, she's young. She's, well, they thought she was going to sort of be a pushover. Right.
Exactly.
And it didn't turn out that way. But perhaps she was like, oh, yes, that's the one.
I mean, I think probably.
Yeah, probably. Weird.
I know. So here's a fun one. Diana was a big fan of music, especially pop music.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in my absolute favorite number of the show, This Is How Your People Dance. It's in the very beginning of the show. Mm-hmm. It is a huge, fun, poppy dance number where Diana is at a cello concert with Charles, and she's daydreaming because she's mm-hmm. so bored. She does not want to be there. And she starts kind of, you know, well, it's a musical, so you sing your thoughts. So she, in her daydream, she's envisioning that they're at a rock concert. And she gives all these shout outs to like Queen and mm-hmm. all these other pop bands. And she really did love pop music. And there are lots of articles where she's quoted saying she loved Dire Straits and said many times Duran Duran was her favorite group. So those two groups are actually quoted in the show. Charles has a line where he's talking to Camilla about how Diana likes pop music, a band named Dire Straits and Duran Duran Duran. And she goes, Camilla goes, no, darling, there's only two. And he's like, I'm sorry, I'm going to make myself giggle. And she goes, no, darling, there's only two. And he goes, two what? And she goes, Duran's. It's simply Duran. Never mind.
It's like, I can't.
Like, you're so out of touch. Yeah. It doesn't even matter. Like, it was funny. But that is true. Those were two of her favorite groups, which I love that they included that. She loved the music of George Michael mm-hmm. and Elton John, both of which became her friends in real life, which I just think is the coolest thing ever.
That's so cool.
And she told Lionel Richie back in the early mid-80s that his song Hello was one of her all-time favorite songs.
Wow.
Yeah, and he sang it for Prince William at an event, and he's like, before he sang it, he was like, your mom told me this was one of her favorite songs. And
yeah. I love that so much.
I know.
It kind of like goes both ways there, right? Because on one hand, if you're Lionel Richie and the Princess of Wales,
yeah,
Princess Diana, arguably the most famous woman in the world, is like, your song's my favorite. How flattering would that
right?
be? But then if you're Princess Diana and you really idolize these yeah. people, for them to show up at your kid's birthday party or become a friend,
yeah, I know.
That's pretty cool too.
I know.
Like, so it's both like, she probably felt a lot of joy from that.
Yeah.
And they were probably like, oh my gosh, like, she is a big fan of ours. That's wild to right. hear from her.
I know.
You know? Yeah. That's very cool.
So that's fun. But she also did, on a side note, she loved pop music, but she also loved lots of other kinds of music as well. She mm-hmm. loved the three tenors. She loved nice. Classical music. You know, it wasn't just, they kind of make it out to be like she was this, you know, pop music mm-hmm. extraordinaire, but she liked all kinds of music.
Right. So pop music was just kind of in there too.
But she did love pop music. Yes. Okay. So back to Diana and Camilla.
All right. We're back.
Are we ready?
I don't know. It looks like there's a lot.
There's
here.
A lot.
What's going to happen?
It's good. Well, the reason there's a lot is because I took direct quotes from the okay. book. Okay. So Diana and Camilla did have a confrontation at a party.
Man, I wish I would have been at that party.
I mean,
even though I was two.
Yeah. Whatever. I'm sure they're glad you weren't.
Yeah.
So one of the numbers on the show, Main Event, which actually I did not enjoy the number at the time, but actually became one of my favorites because our improv moments were great. Mm-hmm. And here's why. So Main Event is based on a real life confrontation between Diana and Camilla where they're at a party and they end up having this argument. Okay. And I'm going to give you the lowdown on this. So Diana spoke about it herself in the self-recorded tapes that Andrew Morton used for his book on her, which we talk about with Amanda. So we'll go into that on the next one you listen to. So are we ready?
Yes.
So Diana showed up, unplanned, by the way, to a 1989 birthday party for Camilla's sister.
Yikes.
Yeah. Well, like I said, they ran in the same groups, right? So,
I mean, yeah, it's not that big of a stretch, but it's still, ooh.
I know. But it was a birthday party for Camilla's sister. And Diana claimed that she confronted Camilla at that party about her affair with Charles, which had just resumed. So they just got, because they've been up and in and out. Like I said, they've been in and out of each other's lives romantically and unromantically for a long time. They had just picked back up again. Okay.
Okay.
And, Diana called it one of her bravest moments.
Wow.
So here's what she said. I walk into the house and stick my hand out to Camilla for the first time and think, whew, got over that. She said, Diana said Charles was baiting her the whole journey on the way to the party, asking her why was she even coming. And then she decided to greet Camilla with a formal handshake instead of her usual kiss, hello. So I did that out of order. Sorry, I put that quote in the wrong spot. Okay, there you go, guys.
So normally at like a friend's party,
yeah,
Diana would give a little kiss.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, she kind of stood back and put her hand out. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so body language.
Body language.
Got it.
And she shook her hand. And while she was at the party, so they go about their party life or whatever, Diana said she had this realization she couldn't find Charles or Camilla. And so she goes off to find them, right? And other people at the party tried to stop her.
Oh, my
because
God.
Here's the thing. Charles and Camilla's friends helped them have their little interludes. That's also mentioned in the musical. Also true. Okay. So Diana said she found a happy. These were her words. Happy little threesome going on. But not that kind. Not that kind. Okay. Because when I read that, I was like, what? No, not that kind, but it was Charles, Camilla, and another man were just together, happily chatting, you know, chatting away in this little private area. And so Diana asked for a private word with Camilla.
Oof.
So here's what she said. She goes, so I said, Camilla, would you like to sit down? So we sat down and I was terrified of her. And I said, Camilla, I would just like you to know that I know exactly what is going on.
Whoa.
And she said, I don't know what you're talking about. And I said, I know what's going on between you and Charles, and I just want you to know that. And she said to me, very interestingly, you've got everything you've ever wanted. You've got all the men in the world falling in love with you. You've got two beautiful children. What more do you want? And Diana said, I want my husband. And then she told Camilla, don't treat me like an idiot.
Whoa.
Now, these are Diana's words.
Right. So okay. She's telling the story.
She's telling the story.
Right.
I'm not saying that it's not true. Right. I'm not saying that at all. But we know when we tell our own stories, sometimes we can leave things out unintentionally or whatever. So I'm just saying this is her story and I believe it.
Yeah, I believe it too.
I believe it. And I just I think when you have those pivotal moments in your life where you do something that you would not normally do, generally, I feel like your memories of that are very crystal clear. Like you can remember what you said, like because this was very out of character for her.
Right.
So she said, you know,
in
so
those
she said,
brave moments. And I won't get into it now, but I'm thinking of a specific brave moment in my own life where I can tell you word for word, like a call that I made, what I said, what they said, what. And I suppose I could misremember it, but it's like it just happened. And especially when someone says something to you like, what more do you want? Or sort of tries to undermine your argument. You do remember what they say to you. And sometimes it's that thing where later where you're like, dang, I should have said this.
Know, always.
Or in the moment like this, you say just the right thing that you want to say. So I think this is probably pretty close. And I also think Camilla did feel like that. Like,
oh, I'm sure.
Like, what do you care?
Right.
Like, you have all this stuff. Just let us have our thing. And Diana, you know, had to kind of say, well, that's not enough for me. Like, I married him because I loved him, not because of all these other things that I have, which are great. But like, you know, to kind of undermine her feelings or even almost make her seem silly.
Right.
To want to have this monogamous relationship with her husband.
Right.
I think you would probably remember when a person said something like that to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, they did treat her. And we talk about this with Amanda, too. they did treat her like she was not very smart.
Mm-hmm.
And she was.
Right.
They wanted her to not be smart. They wanted her to just sit back and just let things happen to her and just do your role, do your title, look pretty mm-hmm. in your stuff, be a little princess.
Right.
And she wasn't. That wasn't about her.
No, she wasn't about that life.
So on the way home from this party, Diana said Charles was all over her like a bad rash. Like he was super mad. She said, I cried like I have never cried before. And she said it was just adding to 7 years of pent up anger. And that was another scene in the show. Mm-hmm. They're in the car together. And he's, you know, after main event. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's talking to her and they're just like, OK, fine. That's it. Now, did that really happen? I don't know. But
like directly after that party.
Right. I don't know. But she said on the ride home, like he was reaming into her. He was so angry that she came to that party and then had the confrontation and ruined his nice little evening out, I guess.
So King Charles. Don't come for me. Well, it's OK. I don't mind.
I know. Come on.
No, not really. Don't really. Give me your best shot. Really don't, though. Charles, you were wrong. You were totally in the wrong there.
Correct.
She was not wrong for addressing something you and Camilla were causing.
Yeah.
That none of that was her fault or wrong for bringing that up. So, you know, I hate that.
I know.
But he also, I feel like because of, and I'm not saying this is an excuse at all, but because of his position in life, he's so used to just you say the word and it goes the way you want. It's right. not an excuse. So then when you have someone who's like, well, I'm not just going to do what you want, and it's not someone you can just fire,
right.
like a butler or something or a right. driver. It's like someone the whole world has seen you enter into a marriage union with. His frustration was probably palpable. Again, not saying it's excused, but he probably literally had never had anyone do that to him before.
Right. He's little Ever. Mr. Prince.
And even his own mother, like, whatever. Oh, do this, do that. But like, even then.
Yeah.
How much confrontation
I know.
Over the years did they really have?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's crazy.
So you're like,
oh my
this
God. Se-
yeah,
I'm
you're
ready.
Like
I'm ready.
Segment.
I just looked down and saw it, y'all. I just saw the next point.
Diana really did call Camilla the Rottweiler.
I did not know this until the show.
Yeah.
And it's like just a little part, right? When she's in the hospital.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So there's a hospital scene.
Yes.
And it's the scene with Sarah
her
and
sister,
Paul,
yep.
her butler. Shout out to Sean. We gave a shout out to
Yay,
Tori. Shout out to
Sean.
Where they speak on that.
Mm-hmm.
And she really did call her this in real life. For those of you that don't know, who are not dog people, a Rottweiler is a type of dog breed that is, I'm just going to say, stereotypically aggressive. I've never been around a Rottweiler. I don't mm-hmm. know, but stereotypically aggressive breed
right.
that they, you know, whatever. So Diana had a friend named Simone Simmons that wrote a 2005 book called Diana, The Last Word. Side note, I feel kind of weird about all these people that wrote books about her that were like her friends. I'm like, were you really her friend? Because like, if a good friend of mine passed away, I don't know if I would want to write a book about them and like share their business. Now, it wasn't 2005. It was a long time after.
Yeah.
But
I don't
weird.
Know. I guess I can see both. If you
I guess.
Feel like your friend is being maligned.
Oh, true.
Wrongly. There's that.
That's true.
Like if I died, knock on something, this isn't wood, but anyway, and people were like, oh, well, Katie was, well, I don't know anything. And you were like, no, that's not it. Not that anyone would read a book about me that you wrote. No offense to me or you. I don't know, readers. We're really going off the rails
so
here. But
nobody would read a book about me that you wrote, Jenny.
Well, mainly because of the subject. I don't think anyone would read a book about me, period.
That's great.
But also, if you wrote it.
But probably not, because I am not the writer.
Also,
Katie's
you
the writer.
But to your point, at least in this case, it does
yes.
feel a little bit like capitalism, commercialism. Like, oh, I was her friend and I can make money off this. So I guess, and we don't know.
We don't know.
We could look into it. What she did with the money would maybe play into that a little. Did
True.
She support some of her causes? Was it just about making her own little 15 minutes of fame?
Right.
Yeah.
But anyways, in her book, she said Diana used this nickname because she looks like a dog and because once she has got her teeth into someone, she won't let go.
Dang. Okay. Ouch. So I don't love attacking the way someone
I
looks.
I know. I hate it.
I understand why Diana would say that, the thing about the looks, because she was obviously in a position to be really upset. Or if you were her friend, you would be like, oh, yeah, she is ugly. You know, that's what girlfriends do.
Well, but God help me if my friend. By the way, if I pass away, do not write down any things I have said in conversations with nobody's around, please.
Hey, we have some of it recorded. I'm just saying.
I said when nobody's around.
Nobody's around. Including the microphones.
But, yes, yes. do not.
Right. But I get why she did say that.
I do too.
But the second part then, once she's got her teeth in, I think that's the more
powerful.
The more powerful of like, oh yeah, I see why you're, you know, making that comparison.
Yeah. Yeah. Well. So I think that's all I have about Camilla. The rest of them are a little more fun. Okay.
We made it through.
The rest of them. Yeah. I made it through Camilla, which by the way, I need to shout out Camilla and Charles, the people who played those in the show, because we've given shout outs to everybody else.
Oh, Sean. Ooh, Tori.
And we've given several to Karen, who played the queen, and Amanda, who played Diana. But y'all, Scotty, amazing as Charles.
Amazing.
Which is so funny. Also, Emily, who played Camilla, they are the nicest people in real life. Like, so Emily and Scotty are so nice to watch them transform, especially Scotty, and play these people who, I mean, I feel like Camilla was a little humanized, though, in the show. She wasn't. But, like, it's so opposite of who they are. So opposite of who they are.
They were, I mean, I was, like, scared.
Yikes.
At one part when Charles was, like, yelling at her. I was like, oh, my God, is he going to hit her? What's going to happen?
And it's so not Scotty.
And it took me, like, it did transport me from, oh, that's my friend Scotty, to, whoa, wait a second. Okay, pinch myself. No one's going to get hit.
Yeah.
It's Scotty and Amanda or Emily or whoever the scene's with. The scene I got scared in, it was Amanda.
Oh, it was the rage. Yes. Yeah.
But it isn't that wild, like, that performers, when they're doing it right, can do that so well that you, even if you personally know them, you forget for a second.
Yeah
So Scotty and Emily, took us long enough.
Yeah, sorry
but
about
here
that.
We are shouting you out.
I know
you made,
like,
it this far.
We shouted out, like, we shouted out all the other leads, right?
We sure did.
I mean, a shout out to all my ensemble peeps, because we rocked
also,
it as well.
Yes.
Okay, so speaking of Diana, we're on our next fact.
Here we go.
Diana did, in fact, do a surprise dance at a royal gala.
Wow.
At the Royal Opera House. She did. It is in the show. So in 1985, her and Charles attended an event at the Royal Opera House. And midway through, she quietly got up from her seat in the royal box. She went and changed clothes. And then, like, he had no idea.
Wow.
And then all of a sudden she graced the stage with dancer Wayne Sleep, where they danced to Billy Joel's Uptown Girl. Do we not just love that?
I love
that. It's so 80s. It's so fantastic. That wasn't the song we used. That was in the musical. We didn't have Uptown Girl in there. But it was shocking to many that were there. Okay. Because it went against all kinds of royal behavior, protocol, tradition. And that is all mentioned in the Angry Song.
The
we were
just
talking
about. Yeah.
Because in the show, Charles is furious, which he probably was in real life. And he has this whole song where he's just telling her, you're going against all our protocol. You're going against tradition. What are you doing? And that was, she really did dance. Like,
and he really did get mad.
And he really did get angry. Yeah. Interesting fact there. Diana was a trained ballet dancer for many years in her younger years. She loved dancing. But she had to quit because they told her she was too tall.
Huh?
So she was between 5'10", 5'11".
Okay.
Yeah. And I was trying to look up to see what the average height of dancers is, but it's different in America and in, in like London. But I guess it has to do with being angles and like being able to be lifted, and all our dancer people, friends out there can correct us on this.
Yeah.
I should ask Susie.
Or explain. Yeah, Susie.
But it was funny because when I was reading about this event happening, the dancer she danced with was my height. He was 5'2".
Wow.
And he said it was so funny when she came in to rehearse with him, because he's like, well, we're going to look crazy. And she would make little jokes about it.
Yeah.
Because she's so much taller.
I'm sure she was in heels too, probably.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She had this really pretty white, flowy, like almost, it looked to me like a modern dance. Like, yeah, there is no video of it because this was 1985.
And no one was expecting it.
Nobody had phones. Yeah. Nobody, you weren't filming events like this. Mm-hmm. There are, like, I think two pictures.
Okay.
That were snapped. So look it up.
I will.
But anyway, she did do that, which is so fun. And I love that. Another big fact that is not as lighthearted, but as I think very, very important as to who she was. She was a breakthrough activist for HIV/AIDS awareness. There is a scene in the show, I think one of the most more emotional few minutes, where she goes to an AIDS ward at a hospital and meets patients. And this was based on a real event that took place. So she made history in April 1987. There are pictures of this. When she was photographed shaking an HIV patient's hand without wearing gloves. So for us these days, if you don't know much about the AIDS, HIV epidemic that was going on in the 80s, there wasn't a lot of facts that we knew about it. Mm-hmm. And people were very, I would say, ignorant about it and not very nice about it. And there's a lot of fear. Mm-hmm. And for her as a royal, not even just a normal human being, but as a royal member to go into the hospital and willingly, as we know, HIV/AIDS is not transmitted through just regular contact. It has to be exchange of fluids and all the things, which, by the way, they did know that
at that time. They did.
Yeah. But people, anyway. For her to not only be there, but to shake hands with no gloves, and she had them photograph it, was on purpose and intentional because she wanted awareness to rise in the general public. And this was huge. This photo alone helped spread the message of HIV awareness and educate the public's perception of the illness, which is huge.
Yeah.
And like I said, that was in the song Secrets and Lies. That day in April 1987, the princess opened the UK's first HIV/AIDS unit at London Middlesex Hospital that specifically treated patients infected with the virus.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So the day of that picture, she was opening. Okay. So it wasn't like her first interaction with the illness necessarily.
So it was different. So the scene in the show has the AIDS ward is already built and like she's coming to visit, which she did plenty of times.
Right.
It was like her, but in real life, the first time that she opened it, that's when the photograph happened.
Got it.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. And I mean, that's kind of hard to explain.
Right. You couldn't do that in a 4-minute song.
And it gives the same impact in the musical.
Right.
You see that she's among the people who are sick and touching them and talking to them and elevating the awareness.
Yeah.
Like you said.
Humanizing the patients that were there and showing the public, these patients are humans and they need our love and they need our help and they're sick and they don't feel well and we want to help them.
Right.
Like they're not like needing to be shunned away. And like, you know, a lot of in the song, people were like, I don't want to be in pictures. I don't want people to know, because it was this, what's the word I'm looking for? It's the stigma that you didn't want to have on you. And she was trying to break down all of that.
Right. And also, you know, I thought a really powerful moment in that scene in the show was when she's saying she wants to take a picture and the different men in the scene are saying different things and they say, my family doesn't know I'm sick. And one of them says, my family doesn't know I'm gay.
Oh, yeah.
Which, again, not everyone with HIV and AIDS was gay or is gay. But that was part of the stigma back then, was that this was a disease for gay men or whatever. So therefore, maybe you have both things.
Yeah.
They go together.
Right, right.
Which in some cases they did, but that was part of, and I just thought that was a really powerful moment in the show. And then, you know, it just keeps going. It's a very quick moment.
Yeah.
But it made me like, geez, like,
I know.
They were just as worried about their family knowing they were gay at that time as they were of them knowing that they had this horrible illness. Yeah. Like, how awful.
How awful.
And
right.
To your point, to not be feeling well, to be dying in some cases.
And to feel so lonely.
Yes.
Like that must have been so lonely. And then you have this royal family member coming in saying, I am here for you. Mm-hmm. I love you. Let's chat. Let's, because she didn't just make appearances at places.
Right.
She got involved.
Yes.
And I think that was what set her apart for so many people. Well, she wasn't just there to shake hands
and get a picture taken.
She was there to be involved.
Right.
And to get to know you and to laugh with you and smile with you and hug you and all these things that were not traditionally, not that they never happened, but they weren't traditionally done, especially in, you know, British society.
Right.
So anyway, so that was a serious, important thing that was in the show. And we go from that serious fact to something very lighthearted and not very important. But many of the things Diana wore in the musical, Netflix version, and even in the Henniger version, everyone, were close as possible replicas.
Yes.
So Diana was known for her fashion eventually. Like, she kind of evolved into this fashionista, right? And they tried really hard to include some of her iconic pieces in the Broadway show. And even though Henniger is a community theater, they also, props to the costume designer and our director for making sure some of those prominent ones. And only those of us who were Diana fans were like, oh my gosh, they have the black sheep sweater. Yeah. Oh my gosh, they're in the blue and white polka dot maternity dress.
Yes.
Like, I knew, like, oh, I love that they had that.
And the black dress.
And the black dress.
Yes.
Yeah, so here we go. So the black sheep sweater, if y'all do a little Google search, and put Diana black sheep sweater, you'll see what I'm talking about. It's a red sweater, and there's all the, it's very 80s, there's all these white sheep all over it, but one sheep is black. And I don't remember what Diana wore that for, but she was photographed wearing it, and I just love it. It was such a statement, and so 80s, and it's wonderful. So we had that in our show, and Amanda got to keep it.
Oh,
I know.
That is awesome.
I loved it. Oh, I love it. Then, like I just said, her blue and white polka dot dress, she was photographed wearing that after she gave birth to Prince William, and Amanda wore that in the hospital scene. The black revenge dress,
oh, there you go.
Which we're going to talk more about in just a second. It wasn't an exact replica, but it was close. It was very similar to the one she wore in real life. It was off the shoulder, and it was tight and all the cute things. Amanda even had on a fake sapphire and diamond engagement ring.
Wow.
That Diana had, which she ordered herself and kept it. But fun fact, most royal engagement rings are custom made, which is not surprising.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense.
Diana picked hers from a jewelry collection catalog. Now, it wasn't like a K jeweler.
Like anyone can go buy it.
Right? It was from a jeweler. A jewelry company named, I don't know if I'm going to say that, if maybe in British land you say it different, but Gerard, G-A-R-R-A-R-D. Do you think that's right?
Or Gerard.
Gerard. Danny and Katie do British. I don't know. Whatever. That's their name. They were founded in London in 1735.
Wow.
So they've been around a minute, and they became the first crown jewelers in 1843.
Okay.
So they were prominent.
Through the crown jewelers, but...
But
she was,
it was
just
already like she's like, oh, I like that one.
Okay.
I was just like, okay, all right. So anyways, so that was just a fun little fact. So one more thing. We're going to talk more about the revenge dress. Diana did indeed wear a black revenge dress after Charles admitted his affair with Camilla on a national televised interview.
Oh my God.
That really did happen. Okay, so for those of you that don't know, let me give you a little backstory. So Charles did go on TV. This was after the book was published. Hopefully I'm getting my timeline right because I didn't write the notes down. Of Diana we had the self-tapes that Angie Morton wrote the book about. Mm-hmm. Again, we speak more about this with Amanda, so I won't give you all the details. Nobody knew it was Diana who gave him the tapes, by the way. It was anonymous until after she passed away. And she said in the book that him and Camilla were having an affair. So he decides to go on national TV and admit to it after this comes out. I don't know the reasoning for that. So an interviewer asked him if he had been, quote unquote, faithful and honorable during his marriage. And he replied, yes, until it became irretrievably broken down. P.S. Those are exact lines in the show. And I know this because I was the interviewer.
That's right.
So, and Scotty was Charles, obviously, in that moment. And that was, those were the exact words. Now, there's a whole other interview. You can Google it. It's on YouTube. Mm-hmm. So that very same night that that aired, there was a scheduled appearance for Princess Diana at a gala hosted by Vanity Fair. Okay, you know the magazine, Vanity Fair. She had something planned to wear. She had originally planned to wear this Valentino dress to the event. Like I said, she was a fashionista. But when the outfit was leaked to the press, oh, sorry, we have some flyovers going on.
What is happening?
The outfit was leaked to the press. They were like, ooh, look what Diana's going to wear. She decided to make a switch. She wanted to wear something else. And it was the famous off-the-shoulder figure-hugging black little number by Christina Stambolian. Does that look like I said that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right.
It had actually been in her closet for 3 years.
Wow.
I know.
So she's like, nope, this
one. But she was like, oh, well, this got leaked. Let's wear something else. Now, granted, did she probably look at that and be like, oh, yeah.
I'm going to look good tonight.
Yeah. And so that's one of the more fun, really fun numbers in the show. It's with her butler, Paul.
Yes.
The FU dress. It's so much fun. And it, I loved hearing the audience's reaction when that song started.
Yes.
Especially those people who were Diana fans, because I knew it instantly. I could hear them hollering and hooting and hollering. Yep. I even heard one lady one night go, go, Diana.
Yes.
It was great. And then in the, you know, at the Scotty and I come in on this little interlude to do this little fake little interview for like 2 seconds. It's not very long. It's like 3 or 4 lines. And as we go off, the queen comes in to do her little part of the song. And I could hear almost every time after Scotty and I would leave, because he would say, yes, until the marriage became irretrievably broken down. Somebody would go, oh, or like they'd be like, oh, or something. Yeah. They would say some little sound effect. It was great. But anyway, Diana's FU message was sent, received, and marked by society and in history books when she wore that little black dress to that Vanity Fair event.
So it's true that the night the interview aired, she wore the dress that night.
True.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. And it was so funny because, like I said, I grew up knowing all about Diana. Mm-hmm. And my mom, when I told her I got cast in the musical, which I auditioned on her birthday, which is a really fun fact.
That's right.
When I told her I got cast, I was like, Mom, you need to watch it on Netflix. And she only watched it for like, I don't know, 30 minutes. And then she quit watching. And she's like, I don't know. And I was like, go back and watch it, Mom. Like, you need to go back and watch it. And I think you'll like it. So she did. She watched it a second time. She loved it. And but before she watched it that second time, I was talking to her about the costumes. And I was like, Mom, they included like all these iconic looks of Diana's. And I said, and there's this song called the FU dress. And she's like, oh, it was the black dress, wasn't it? Like, she knew exactly what I was talking about.
Yes. I love that.
Because it's so iconic, like, especially for Diana fans. So anyway, that was real. That was true. Whether she sang a song about it with her butler, I don't know.
Who knows? I mean, maybe. I'd like to think they did, you know?
Maybe. So those are all my facts.
I love it.
Those are all my facts.
Those were great.
Comparing. And like I said, there are plenty more. Mm-hmm. We talk about some with Amanda. There's plenty more I didn't go allude to. Like, yeah. We speak about Diana's battle with mental health things in mm-hmm. the other one. I didn't want to talk about all that today. But anyway, that kind of brings us to the end of our little fact versus fiction.
And I would say it's too late now to go see the musical at the Henniger, unfortunately, but it is on Netflix. So
it is.
If you haven't, not the Henniger's version, which I mean, I think it should be.
Should
it
be on Netflix.
So good. Seriously, you guys, it was so good. People who did see it are shaking their heads and going, yep, yep, yep.
And if you're not, I don't care. I don't want to hear what you have to say. Yeah.
Don't at us, okay? At us about everything.
Only if you love us.
But that. Okay, or I'll field those myself. Don't worry. I have a response ready to go. But watch it on Netflix and then either re-listen to this episode or just take what we talked about. And then you'll be like, oh, that is true, or that was something, or she did wear that.
Yeah.
And this will all kind of like play into that. And I thought this was a really cool way to present this. Like you said, there's some great podcasts and documentaries and all the things. So this was a great way to kind of tie it to the experience that is seeing this musical and your own like fandom of Diana.
Yeah.
This was really interesting.
Yeah. I just thought, and you know, we do things different here on Generation in Between, right? We do. We really got to keep it something different. But anyway, thank you for listening to Generation in Between, a Xennial podcast. If you all liked what you heard, please share us with your friends of all generations, just like Patrick does, and leave us a review wherever you listen. You can find us on Patreon and become a monthly supporter to have access to bonus episodes, which we are going to record some more soon.
Yay!
All that info is in our show notes. So until next time, I leave you with my favorite ending line to Diana musical, which is the Netflix version, not the Henninger version, because it changed. But it is this. The people who will change the world are not the ones you think will change the world.
Oh, I love it.
Yes, me too.
So true. And I know you listeners are world changers, so you can appreciate that.
Yes.
All right. Well, we'll see you guys next time. Don't forget to listen to part two, our interview with Amanda.
See you next time. Bye.
Bye.